This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. I hope you left last episode really pondering on the challenge that we made related to letting go of a belief. And this episode, we're going to follow up with something that will be helpful if you are following that challenge. And the name of this episode is, where do you need to go back to restart a new belief system? So last episode, we talked about giving up a belief, challenging you to really look at your beliefs. So now you should be in a position of restarting a belief. So that's a really great place to be. Kind of fresh mind, fresh belief, whatever it is, to just, well, you don't have the belief yet, but you're starting.
Yeah, and I think that one of the ways that we have to look at, you know, there's different types of beliefs, but the one thing I want to talk about a little bit is when you say, where do you need to go back to restart a new belief? I think that the greatest thing is being able to just start with the person where they are and then, you know, be so curious and inquisitive to just listen and then begin to ask them to, I would say, it's like peel back like a banana, or they talk about the onion, you know what I mean? It's just, and let them begin by asking them those different questions of, why do you believe that? You know, but not trying to convince them to believe like you, but get people curious enough to begin to question themselves of why I believe that way. And what, do I like what I believe in? And if I like it, why do I like it? And what joy has it brought me, or what pain has it brought me? Just being more curious and more open and more, you know, just being willing to flow with the person. I think just sitting with people as they are instead of as we want them to be, I think it's a good place to start.
Yeah, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
That teaches you about loving another person and accepting them.
Exactly.
Right where they are. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I want to talk about some of these belief systems as I've been studying this about, you know, one of the belief types is existence. And we talk about, you know, in this belief system or this belief, types of belief it is, it's the belief of existence. And then, you know, it's one of the simplest beliefs that some give things exist. You know, it has to be true because it exists. Not so much. It doesn't have to be true because it exists. It's just like I said earlier in the last podcast, you say the word God and you will get all kind of different explanations or experiences or how they got to where they are. But they say that one of the biggest classics existence of belief is the belief in God. Even if it's not the same God. We may not believe in the same God, but there is, and I talked about, I think last time we talked about raw dogging. And that's like not having any kind of belief in anything. So it's the same thing, but one of the most classic beliefs is God. That is one of, you know, most people, even when they say they don't believe in God, how can you not believe in something that you don't believe exists?
That feels like kind of a circle, you know?
But like, it goes back to what? Like if someone, they call them an atheist. You know, so if you are believing that there isn't a God, don't you have to first believe there was a God to not believe there is a God?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm just asking.
Well, right. I'm thinking like when you were told that Santa Claus existed and then you find out he doesn't, so then you don't believe him anymore. I'm sure but that's first not the same thing. And I mean no insult to any atheist that might be listening, but yeah, I mean.
But to me, in order for me to not believe in something, I have to somewhat have, even if I didn't believe in it, I have to have some conscious of it.
Some lingering starting place.
Point. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. And that's what it talks about as an existent, you know, when someone is an existing type, when there's a belief because it exists, you've got to, it goes on to say that the belief is in the outer world. If you realize that what we perceive is an internal inference of what happens in the outer world, then our first belief is that what we perceive truly exists. So what I believe truly exists. So if I believe a certain thought, right, I truly believe it exists. I've been living a life on that existence, whether it was true or not. I believed it. That's what made it true. It was true for me if it wasn't true for anyone else. See, these are deep questions, right? I see you right. over there looking yeah. like, And I want you to, you know, you're like, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah, I'm pondering all of the philosophical questions that come out of existence or not existence. I'm just thinking of
scientific, all of it.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a million things that you can't see. Actually, when I was looking at you, I was thinking, we know that we have the ability to see things because my mind is interpreting what I'm seeing, but you can't see my sight. But my sight exists because you can see the effects of me having sight. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's the same as a thought or the wind or, I don't know, I'm just things, you know, like that.
This conversation still makes you think, right?
Right. It's like I said, it's very philosophical.
It is. It is.
But it's good to think that way. I mean.
And then they have the types of belief association beliefs. And it says, we understand things in terms of other things. Thus, we say A is like B or related to B in some way. You look like your father. So we immediately associate, we'll see a person, and immediately the reason that we're able to believe that that's your son or you have some kindred because you look so much like him. But what about when the person says, I'm no kin to those people?
Right.
I don't even know those people. Yeah. Who are those people? And you're going to sit there and make yourself believe, there's no way. You must be kin to them. I've seen people do this. No, you must be kin. Let me go get a picture. See how much you look like them? Oh, my God. You telling me you don't know them? And then they go on because in order for them to the association of seeing you and the reason that you look like them, they believe you belong to that genetic family because you have so much resemblance. And let's look at the negative cause of it, because if the father was absent or not longer, and then the parents would say, because they had a certain act, they associate that belief to that father. You're just like your dad. You're never going to be anything. Oh, you're never going to add up to nothing. Or you're just like your mom. She was never no good. And so you put all those thoughts, so you associate a certain behavior and a certain characteristic with that person. So you believe A must be B. And so B must equal C, and then it becomes this big old thing. And then you believe that. And so you say those things because you believe it.
Yeah.
Because you associate that person or that thing with this particular thing.
Right, right.
And then it has nothing to do, one has nothing to do with the other. They're both different. You know, it says that, you know, like each word that I write has a whole bag of belief attached to it. For most part, however, it is simply impractical to challenge beliefs at this level, though sometimes it can be very useful. So it's like sometimes you just got to be able to be open to meet people where they are. But you can't always pour and vomit on people, even the association of beliefs, just because they're reminding you of a memory of someone else or they look or resemble someone else. You immediately, like you said, in your mind, go to that place because that's what you associate it with. Mm. But it doesn't make it true.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it goes on. I love what it says. If we associate killing with father, what does this mean? Is our father a murderer? This is very dangerous zone for you to analyze who you can also create association by asking things like, so why do you want to kill your father? You know, like they were saying that, you know, certain things people will ask people questions in counseling, you know, and so they just will say certain things and then they'll associate it with something else and they just keep. So it becomes a belief that if I can connect this to this, then maybe you'll connect it to that. And if you connect it to that, maybe it will make sense to us both. Some things are irrational. Not everything makes sense.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it
does. You know, and so then you got the equivalence, you know, where it's equal. And even in reality, two pennies are not the same. If you look closely enough, they're different. But when you're looking at them from equal value, they look the same because they're equal amount. If I go to the store and I come up with my cost is $10.27, then I give her a $10 bill, a quarter and two pennies. That's $10.27. So it equals that. But is those two pennies the same? No. If you look close enough, they're different.
You'd find the difference.
You'd find the difference.
Yeah.
But so often we equal things out to be the same. That's how we do even in our pain.
Yeah.
We will associate a certain act or a person. I'm going to say this the other day. I was having a moment with someone that I felt like kind of sideswiped me on some information. And immediately it threw me back. It didn't throw me all the way back where it used to throw me, but it threw me. It didn't even throw me. It knocked me off of balance. And for a moment in thought, I equaled that to something else.
Yeah.
I associated it with something else. In that moment, I felt something else, and it existed in that moment that I had to pull myself all the way back to the conversation, to where I was, to what is, and what is true. And even if so, I still needed to pull myself back from that place.
Yeah.
Because somewhere still, people sideswiping me or not giving me all the information stirs up distrust for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, in my instincts, that it is that. Sometimes you realize maybe the person didn't mean it that way, and that wasn't their intent. But let's go with Judas. He didn't mean for Jesus to get killed. If you look back at the story, that wasn't what Judas was trying to do. He thought that Jesus would rebel against the Roman and turn it over and save him.
Right, and would take his rightful place.
Place and be king.
And throw out the Romans and all of that.
So I'm saying his motivations, when I hear people say that wasn't my intent, it wasn't Judas's intent to get Jesus killed. But Jesus still died because he started a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
A cause and effect that he lost control over. He may have had the best intentions on what he was trying to do from his own perspective, but he couldn't control the outcome of another human. And that's the thing, we believe certain things, but we don't really have that power that we think we have.
That we can control everything.
That we can control everything.
We can't.
We cannot.
We cannot control what people believe, what they do, what they think. We can try to, assert our will over them, but really, when it comes down to it, you really can't.
You really can't. You
can't control every part of them.
And all of this is data mindset. Our belief system is like the data in our minds. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And we can't control other people from it. And we think we can. We're powerful and powerful at the same time. We're powerless and powerful at the same time. We just don't know it. So even our belief systems has power. And as well as our belief system is powerless. It depends on how it's used.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get inaction. That's another kind of belief. And what is that belief? It says, it's a common belief that is useful in accepting an imperfect world. Something like, we believe in the flow of time and the change of the world around us. So what we say is that things just happen. Inaction is, they said another word, but I won't say that. They said stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
That it kind of gives us a chance, you know. So what that does for us in action, the belief in inaction says, oh, things happen all the time. Things just happen. No, there's a cause and effect. And so we try to make sense of it. And we try to, you know, create some kind of sounding board to the world around us to make sense. Because if you question, like, when people kill people or a little girl is killed or, you know, Pete, you try to make sense of that, right?
Yeah.
Your belief somewhere, you try to think, you know, oh, my God. And so you try to create this inaction to say stuff happens, or you try to make it feel as though my belief systems or the way I believe helps me kind of really navigate the world so I don't lose my mind, so I don't go crazy, so I'm not hopeless all the time, so I'm not depressed. So I'm not, you know, just feeling totally out of control. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, I mean, there are things that are cause and effect. There are things that do happen that are seemingly random.
Yeah.
But to
be in a fallen world.
Yeah, right.
But with fallen people.
But I think there's an extreme part of that where it's like, I'm not going to take any responsibility and do anything because stuff just happens.
Yeah.
So that's okay. So I'm going to just be laid back. I'm not really going to do anything. And that to me feels, it's irresponsible on a level. I mean, you have, like I said, you have some stuff you can control, some stuff you can't control. Mm-hmm. You can control yourself.
Right.
But I think when you take that kind of belief to the extreme, you are losing that part of you that can make a difference in your own life. Instead of saying, oh, I'm just going to go with the flow. Everything's just going to be perfect. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you rationalize your inability to you can just say, I have no control of that. You can say that, but it's not going to stop me from doing being the best version of myself that I can be.
Right.
So I'm going to take responsibility of the part I play.
Right.
I can't take responsibility of the part you play, but I can take responsibility. I can take the responsibility of the part I play. And then we have causation. Causation is we have constant need to explain how things work. That's a belief. Come on. As a part of that explanation to determine the cause, it's called the belief in causation. So I need to be able to explain how it works.
I'm laughing because I am such an info person. I'm like, oh, I kind of see me in that one.
Yeah, because it says a false form of casual belief is where we correlate two things and assume that because that they happen at the same time or in the same place that one caused another. Detectives do this when a suspect was in the same place that a murder happened.
Oh,
it's
wow.
called the belief of causation.
Yeah, I don't think I have that in extreme, but I could definitely see myself in that one for sure.
And it says we even have special part of our memories to remember how to do things. So it's A plus B equals C. Again, it's the causation. So we believe if I do it this way, like even losing weight, when people eat a certain way, they believe in the causation. If my belief is causation, I believe that if I do this and do that, it will cause that.
Right, right. And trauma will tell you that too.
Exactly.
In a very unhealthy way.
Exactly.
It's why we can't see God in a healthy way because we associate our fathers with them if you had a bad father, I should say. But yeah, so if we've had trauma, we can definitely say because A happened, B happened, therefore A will always equal B, and because cause and effect. And
exactly.
It's like,
causation.
You know.
They just believe that that's just the belief system. And like they said, detectives and police, and it's not always the truth, though.
Right.
Just because I was in the same place at the same time as the murderer doesn't mean I was the murderer.
Right.
But they will bring me in as a suspect just because I was in the area.
To eliminate you.
To eliminate me or to set me up, depending on if I'm black in America.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I mean? Seriously, yeah. Sometimes, you know, poor, black, it can be white, it could be, you know, sometimes people get falsely accused of crimes that they didn't commit just because, again, causation, because you had a record. Come on. So I believe you had the possibility of doing it. So I accuse you and I bring evidence to line up to my beliefs.
Right. Right.
And I believe the law, the judicial system does it all the time.
They do. A prosecutor might decide someone is guilty, whether they have evidence or not. And they will try to fit the evidence against that theory. And it convicts innocent people all the time.
And not only that, they can even get the person to start believing. Not necessarily that they believe they did it. But if you look at if you go back and look at the movie called The Five Central Park Men that got accused of the raping the woman, after a while, they you know, talk them into it. I think it's called the Central Park Central Five.
Central Park Five.
The Central Park Five. Yeah. But, you know, those young boys were so young that eventually they started believing they did do it. You know what I'm saying? They were so wore down, you know what I'm saying, by the time the police finished that they start saying whatever the police told them to say.
Right. Right.
And so I see that in plea bargains. No, I see it in plea bargains, where they will use your past crimes against you to plead you out. So you really are admitting, you're believing, even if you don't believe you did it, you will confess that you did it just to get out of it.
Mm. Yeah, that happens.
So to me, I see that as also, as we just talked, causation. You know, you get to a point in your own say to say, well, they already going to believe that I did it anyway, so I might as well just go ahead and say it. What difference does it make? It'll get me less time. But if you know you didn't do it, stand up for that. I know it's hard in America, especially for African-American people. I totally get it. But there are times, and as me being an African-American woman, I've had to stand up. And a lot of times they were angry with me in the criminal justice department because I would never admit that I was guilty. Like, no, put up the 12 juries. If I'm going to be found guilty, I'm going to be found guilty by 12 different people, my peers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you I'm guilty. Even if I am, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Do your job. Prove that I'm guilty. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't.
No, but at least, you know, you were standing up. And I know that's got to be hard, especially being African-American in a judicial system which is slanted against African-Americans.
Exactly.
Obviously.
Well, it's not slanted. It was built that way.
Well, but it was built slanted then.
Yeah, it was built slanted. I've heard people say, oh, we need to fix this. You know, we need to, how do they say it? They don't say fix the system. They'll just say, the system is broken. No, it's not broken. It was built that way.
Yeah, sadly.
You know, and people's belief is that it was it's broken. Why don't we get to the place where we can believe that it was built that way? It was built to keep certain races down and certain, you know, levels of people down. It was built on those premises.
Right. You could be poor in America.
Yeah.
And thrown into jail and then basically used as slave labor.
Exactly. So it was built that way. It's not broken. The system is not broken. It was built that way.
Yeah.
You know, America was built that way. It's just so many things that are built the way that they are. And we believe that they're broken because, again, it goes back to beliefs, right? Because if I believe that it was not broken, then I would have to believe that it was built that way. And if I'm a different race, I would have to take a look at myself and say, what have I believed in all these years that was not the truth?
Yeah.
And I think in 2020, with the George Floyd and all the things that was happening, the pandemic and everything, I just think a lot of people were shaken to the core of what they truly believed.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. I could be wrong, but hey, so what?
You know, speaking of the judicial system, I was really shocked. I watched CBS this morning. It was before church service. And they had featured two African-American men who were convicted of crimes they didn't commit. And all of the evidence now points to that they are completely innocent. But because they have exhausted all the procedures to appeal, they are innocent people who have to spend their life in jail over procedure. And I think, what is wrong with this picture? That we are so, like, the procedure is so holy, if you will, that we are going to
like traditions.
Right. We're going to let innocent people spend the rest of their life in jail. One gentleman, I think he had spent 40-something years in jail. His daughter was like so many weeks old when he went in. She's in her 40s. He missed her entire life being wrongly convicted of a crime. And because of procedure, because they've exhausted all of it, he has to stay there. And I think...
And they have evidence of him actually being innocent?
Yeah. But because there was... They've like exhausted all their appeals, and there's no
government can come in and make that decision.
I don't know why.
President.
They didn't talk about this, but I don't know why like a governor couldn't come in and pardon them and release them from jail. Don't know about that. So they were just focusing on the procedure part of it and how can an innocent person who's proven to be innocent still spend the rest of their life in jail? Well, that's an example. So for anybody out there listening, that was on CBS this morning, this past week, which, let's see, it would have been yesterday, so that would have been the 18th of July, 2021. So
it's just like this grandmother that they let her out. They let her out of prison. It was a nonviolent crime. They let her out because of COVID. She was at a computer class, and I think this was in, we have to look it up, but she was a grandmother, and she was in a computer class. The probation officer called her, and she didn't answer her phone. They rearrested her.
Oh, my gosh.
And she could prove where she was, and the judicial system locked her back up and was going to send her back to prison. Of course, she has been exonerated now. If not exonerated, she's been definitely, you know, but she's now going to fight for all those other people who they're saying that they were just released from prison because of COVID. Now that COVID is over, I'm going to send them back.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, and she was going to go, and they violated her just because she didn't answer her phone. She was in computer class where she was supposed to be, but she couldn't answer the phone.
Wow.
So it's not a system that's broken, it's set up, it's democracy and how things are set up, like you said, and procedures and policies. And I'm saying the probation officer, maybe, you know, it goes back to black and white, right, and gray, absolutes and flexible. So maybe the probation officer just felt like they were doing something that was written in their job description on how they should do it, so they was executing what was written. Doesn't make it right. It just makes it so. And like you said, with the procedural of the conviction, they've overturned all their other options and over one, because they have no other options, though they're innocent, according to procedural law, there's nothing else for them to do but do the rest of their time.
It's just crazy.
Procedural law, as they call it.
It's,
you know,
crazy.
What I mean? Causation, you know what I mean? Existence, association, equivalence, inaction, causation. I don't know. Which one? All of them. You have to look at all of things that why you believe and what you do and why you do it. And innocent people, you're right, are in prison because of it in so many ways. And then you go to, you know, so what's now? You know, when you say, where do you need to go back to restart a new belief system? So what's next? I think that's what you have to look at and really look at, you know, understand what people believe, why they believe it. Each person has to look at their own beliefs, why they believe it, what they need to do. Do they believe they need a new start? Do they believe that what they believe is good enough for where they are? I don't know. You know, I've been doing ministry for 25 years consistently and running the same program for that long. And I believe the way I was doing it was really good and really great. But I'm finding out that there's even a more excellent way to do it.
A more excellent way. That's right.
There's a more excellent way to do it.
Right. It might have been good.
Yeah. And I might have been even successful at it.
Right. And you were.
And I was successful at it.
And you are.
And I am. Right. But I also now know that that was good for then. But going forward, there's a more excellent way.
Yeah.
And I want to move in the more excellent way.
Yeah.
So even in my belief system, where do I start? I evaluate. Even if it's good, even if it's successful,
yeah.
Even if it brings me fruit, is it bringing me the best fruit? Is it bringing me the best outcomes?
Yeah. Boy, that's even a harder thing to challenge when you are getting, when you're getting results from a belief, to even consider there may be even a better way. That feels more impossible than if you were in destructive belief and thinking there's got to be another way, right? You know,
and that's usually when we get desperate, that's what we do,
right?
But I've learned in my 30 years of discovering and getting back to who I originally was meant to be, that some of the things I was doing was out of the belief systems I had from some of the pain that I experienced. And so now, even though it brought me fruit and it was, and I'm successful in it, and I am, there is a more excellent way. And I'm out to reach for it because I want to make sure that I've exhausted everything that's out there for me, even if the way I'm doing it works.
Yeah.
Is there a better way to do it, to make it greater for the next person I serve?
That's what I believe. And that's what I hope.
Amen. Amen. Whew. That's some good stuff. That's some good, good stuff. Good conversation.
Yes.
Where would you like to leave the listeners with this episode? Would you?
I think I would like to leave them with saying, always be willing and open to see the more excellent way.
Yeah. And I love that phrase, the more excellent way. Not that your way is bad.
And not that it's good, and not that it's, but it could be a more, there is a more excellent
way. It could be better. Your beliefs could be a silver when you want to take it up to a gold.
Exactly.
If you will.
As the Olymp, as what's getting ready to start in
the Olympics.
Yeah. In a few days.
Yeah. 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 Totally forgot about that.
Let's go for the gold.
That's right.
That's how we're going to end it.
Listeners, go
for the gold.
That's
the more excellent way.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to end it right there. Y'all take care.
Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2020 by Lucretia Bowman.